Of Genesis chapter 12. I have talked before about Abraham and his faith and his walk of faith. I just felt the Lord directed me back to this the story again. And as I've lived life and walked with the Lord, my walk has been deepened as I understood more truths from the life of Abraham, that father of faith. And so I would like to draw out some of those, some old truths and some new truths again this morning from the life of Abraham. Talking about living by faith. Genesis chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. When I was in high school, my best friend wrote in my yearbook, keep the faith. That's it. That's all that he wrote. At the time, I was wondering why he didn't write more than that. Today, I wonder if he realized all that he said in those three small words. You see, we use words all the time. We don't quite know what they mean. And as I began the Christian life and as I grew up in the church, I would hear phrases like walking by faith and all you need to do is trust God. All you have to do is keep the faith. And I often wondered what they meant when they said that, but I'd been a Christian too long to ask. It's kind of like somebody's name. You don't know their name, but you've known them too long to ask. So I wondered, what does it mean to live by faith? And what does it mean to walk by faith? I mean, does that mean I change the way I dress? Does that mean I start fasting and putting on sackcloth and ashes? And what is involved in this idea of walking by faith? Well, I needed an example. I don't know about you, but I like to have examples. And I needed the Word to become flesh. And I needed somebody to show me what it was like to walk by faith. And then God directed my attention to Abraham. And the Lord understands our confusion. And he gives us Abraham in the Bible as a demonstration of what it's like, step by step, to trust God and to walk by faith. In Romans chapter 4, Paul was talking about Abraham and that experience with Isaac and how Abraham believed God. When he came to the end of the chapter, Romans chapter 4, he summed it up by saying, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Paul is saying that the things that happened in the life of Abraham, the life that Abraham lived, the things that happened were not just a matter of historical record. It's not something for us just to read about and say, oh, it was nice that those things happened to Abraham. No, it was written for our learning as well. It was written so that we can believe as Abraham believed. And if we believe as Abraham believed, then we can also receive as Abraham received. And so I want to go through these three crisis situations in the life of Abraham that really demonstrate what it means to walk by faith, to live by faith. We'll begin there in Genesis chapter 12 with those first three verses. Now, this is the first time Abraham is mentioned in the Bible other than a genealogy. So we don't know, we kind of suspect that this is the first time God spoke to him. This is where the whole business started. And notice the words, verse 1, get thee out of thy country, in the words of direction, unto a land. Get out of thy country. The first words God speak to Abraham is get out. leave, go, turn your back on what you have now, go somewhere else, separate yourself. And see, I believe the essence of faith is simply this. The essence of faith is letting go of one thing so that we can take hold of something else. Letting go of one thing so that we can take hold of something else. See, God has things that He wants to give you, but He can't give you those things if you're hanging on to your things. And so He says you have to open up and you have to let go. In this matter of growing in grace and walking with God, there's always the opportunity to let go of one thing so that we can take hold of something else. And God comes to Abraham and says, I want you to get out of this country which you are now living. I want you to separate yourself from your kindred and from your father's house. In other words, God is saying to Abraham, I want you to leave everything that is of security and identity. I want you to leave all of those things behind, and I want you to follow me. I have a special country for you. I have a special land for you. I have a land of promise that I want to give you, but I cannot give you this land of promise. I cannot give you this special country if you persist in staying where you are. And so Abraham had to let go of the land. I am convinced this morning that the things that keeps God from giving us all that He wants to give us is the fact that our fists are clenched tightly around the things that we possess and we are not willing to let go of them. But in the matter of growth, letting go is always necessary. The only way to grow up is to give up. That's true not only physically, but also spiritually. All the days of your life, you grow up by giving up certain things. You have to give up the bottle. You have to give up the diapers. You have to give up the toys, or at least some of the toys. We call people who are not willing to give up these things, we call them immature. We say that they are immature. You have to give up in order to grow, and it's not always easy. In fact, sometimes it's painfully hard. Jesus said that a man would have to leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. You have to give up a home in order to make a home. And unless we give up, we will never grow up and become what God wants us to be. And so God comes to him. It must have been a startling time for Abraham because up to this point, God had really not laid a foundation with him. And all of a sudden, out of the clear blue sky, it seems, God speaks to Abraham and a very difficult message. Get up and leave your country. Withdraw yourself from your family, from your kindred, and from your father's house. Now, what was God doing here? Basically, I think that God was doing two things in the life of Abraham, two things that he wants to do in our lives as well. The first thing that he wanted to do by getting him to leave the land was to isolate Abraham, was to isolate him. And God wants to do the same thing with us as well. God wanted to make a new people out of Abraham. He fashioned Abraham. He wanted to fashion him according to his own image. But he could not do that where Abraham was. God needed to draw him out and to isolate him and so that he could be alone in the shaping influence of Abraham's life. I have no doubt that God is constantly trying to do that in our lives as well. He is trying to isolate us because we are so tempted to be conformed to this present world in which we live. But God says, I want you to come out from this world. I want to renew your mind. Paul says, come out and be separate and don't touch the unclean thing. Now, I'm not saying that you need to isolate yourself and withdraw from this world and live in the mountains or live like a hermit or something like that. I'm only saying that God wants to bring us to a place where He can shape our lives, where He can mold our lives, and where He can be the main influence in our lives. And that's a very difficult thing for us to do because we have to give up some of the world's things. And if God wants to start a new work in your heart and my heart, he has to get me in a situation where he has me all to himself. God knows that he cannot do all that he wants to do with me as long as I am living under the power and the influence and the pressure of this world to be squeezed into its mold. How many of you know that the world is trying to squeeze you into its mold? There's tremendous pressure in life to be conformed to the world's standards, to live like the world, to act like the world, to live by the ideals and standards of this world. But let me tell you, you cannot do that and walk with God. You have to leave where you are and you have to move to where God is. Second thing that God was trying to do with Abraham in getting him to leave the land was not just to isolate him, but also to teach him what it's like to walk in the unknown. He was getting Abraham to walk into the unknown. The thing that impresses me rather the most about this is that God didn't tell Abraham where he was going. Ladies, how would you like to have been Abraham's wife, Sarah? He comes home one night and he says, "Honey, pack your bags, we're moving." "Where to?" "I don't have any idea." "How long is it going to take to get there?" "No clue. All I know is that we're going to wander around for a while and we're going to live in a tent." Now, how many of you would be excited about that? That's what Sarah had to face one day. But God is saying, "I want to get you into a country that I will show you. I want you to walk with me in a mystery. I want you to trust me even when you don't know what's going on. I want you to trust me even when you don't know what's happening in your life. I want you to trust me even when you don't have the slightest idea where I'm taking you. I want you to be willing to walk with me even into the unknown. I believe that you cannot miss this aspect of faith and understand what it means to walk with God. If we are going to walk with God, sometimes we will be walking into a mystery. Sometimes we'll be taking a step into the unknown. It might seem to us even as a step in the dark. But that's what it means to walk by faith. That's what it means to trust God. God, I will follow you. I will trust you. I don't need to understand all the details. I trust you. You are worthy to be trusted, and I will follow you. You see, I think if Abraham had known where the final destination was, he would have focused his eyes on the destination instead of God. Have you ever had to follow somebody someplace and you didn't know the final destination? You didn't know how to get there. So you kept your eyes on that person ahead of you. If you were following them in your car, you're always kind of sweating and panicking, thinking, "I hope too many cars don't get between us. I hope I don't lose sight. I don't know where to turn up ahead. I just got to make sure that we follow them. Honey, kids, keep an eye on that car ahead of us." And God did not tell Abraham where he was going so that Abraham would keep his eyes focused on God and not the destination. Here's an interesting story they were talking about in Sunday school this morning. Book of Exodus, about Moses, how he came down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments. But even before he did that, he went up to get the law of God. And I like what the people said. They were so confident. They said, "Now, Moses, you go up there on the mountain and find out what God wants us to do. And then you come back and tell us, and we will do exactly what God says." They were so confident. They were so arrogant and smug. And by the time Moses got back to them with the commandments, they had broken everything God already told them to do. They were dancing around this golden calf. And I love what Aaron said about it. Moses said, as he comes out, "What in the world is going on here?" Aaron said, "I don't have the slightest idea. Everybody came and brought me gold and rings and bracelets, and I just threw them in the fire, and out came this golden calf. I have no idea what happened." Moses goes back to pray and intercede for the people, and God has had it at this point. God said, "Moses, I'm going to wipe them out. I'm going to start over with you. I'm going to get a new people." And Moses begins to intercede and prays one of the most interesting prayers in the Bible. He's basically saying, "You God, you can't do this because you promised them that you would lead them into a land. If you do this, you'll be breaking your word. And not only that, you'll be causing your enemies to mock you." Then Moses said, God, if you can't forgive them, blot my name out of your book. The Bible says that God changed his mind and didn't do what he intended to do to the people. He heard the prayer of Moses and sent Moses back to lead the people. But you know, I don't believe that Moses was at this point quite ready to go back and lead the people. I mean, you got to think about what Moses has gone through too. He'd had it up to here with them. But when he heard that God was going to destroy him, he said, I better do something. And he rose to the occasion and he makes a strange request. He says, Lord, show me your face. Show me your glory. Let me see your face. I don't think I can lead this people if I don't know who you are. I don't know that I can do this great mission that you have sent me on unless I have a greater revelation of you. I need that kind of assurance. And God said to Moses, you can't do that. Nobody has ever seen my face and lived. But I'll tell you what I'll do, Moses. I'll put you in the cleft of the rock, and I'll put my hand over your face. And as I pass by, I will remove my hand, and you can see my backside. You can see me from the back. And that's what God did. And you know, that's the way most of us see God in life. We see him in retrospect. We see him from the back. We see him only from behind. We see him only after we have gone down the path and looked back. I don't have the slightest idea where I'm headed tomorrow. And you don't either. There have been a million times in my life that I thought I had missed God somewhere. I said, I don't understand. I don't understand what's happening. The hill seems so steep. The path seems so rugged. The way is so crooked. There's traps. There's snares. It's so dark. And half the time I'm stumbling around like I've lost my way. God, I must have missed you somewhere. But every once in a while, I look back over my shoulder and I see the path. And I knew that God led me down the right path. And the path didn't look so hilly, and it didn't look so crooked, and it didn't look so thorny. And I wonder, is that the path that I just came over? It sure didn't look like it when I went through it. When I had those experiences, it didn't look like the path that I now see. But I understood that God was the one that had been leading all the time. Most of the time, you won't see God clearly out in front of you. We don't always know where he is leading, but we can turn around and look back and say, the Lord led me every step of the way. Have you ever gone through a trial and you just wondered how you were going to get through it? You finally got through it and you looked back and you say, God was so faithful. God was so good. He led me every step of the way. And so the issue is of faith is not whether I'm going to have to see everything before I obey. The matter of faith is, am I willing to travel under sealed orders and leave the destination to God? That is the question. That's what it means to walk by faith. That was the first crisis situation that Abraham had. He had to leave the land. The second crisis situation that Abraham had was that he had to let go of Ishmael. And the story there is found in Genesis chapter 17. God had made a covenant with Abraham. He told Abraham that he would give him and Sarah a son, and through this son all the nations of the earth would be blessed. The covenant was the basis for everything that God did in Abraham's life. So after having heard this covenant promise from God, Abraham and Sarah walked away with joy in their hearts, but there was one problem. Sarah was unable to get pregnant. She was barren. Years went by and they didn't hear anything from God. So Sarah came up with a solution. Abraham could have a child by her handmaid Hagar. Abraham did that and Ishmael was born. When Ishmael was born, Abraham and Sarah were satisfied that this is the promise that God had for them. It had all been fulfilled. Everything was taken care of. But all of a sudden, when Ishmael is a teenager, God shows up again and begins to speak about having a son. And he begins to talk about things like he never left. He picked up right where he had left off and talked about Sarah bearing a son. In Genesis chapter 17, if you'd turn over there, I'd like to read beginning with verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? All of a sudden, God spoke. The voice thundered out of heaven, and Abraham did exactly what he should do. He got on his face to worship God, but as he's down there on his face, he laughs in his heart. He just can't help himself. The idea seems so ridiculous. He didn't want to laugh, but here's God is saying that Sarah is going to have a child and be the mother of many nations. And Abraham just couldn't believe it. And so in the next verse, he's basically saying, oh God, let Ishmael live before thee. What's happening here? Abraham was telling God that Ishmael was the answer, was the son of promise. And as far as Abraham was concerned, the promise of God had been fulfilled. Every day as he watched Ishmael grow up, he said, this is it. This is the fulfillment of the promise. This is God's promised son to me. And you can imagine how he began to love that boy. He loved him with all of his heart. And God spoke as if Ishmael didn't even exist. And so Abraham is saying, let Ishmael live. God, let's do it my way. What is Ishmael? Ishmael is where your vision collides with God's vision. Ishmael is your version of the will of God. Your dreams, your plans, your ideas. The Lord was saying, Abraham, if you want the child of promise, though, you're going to have to let go of Ishmael. Now, this is a lot harder than letting go of the land. You have to open up your hand and you have to let Ishmael go if I'm going to give you Isaac. I can't do my work in you. I cannot fulfill my covenant with you, my promise to you, as long as you're grasping and hanging on to Ishmael. As long as you insist on doing it through Ishmael, I can never have my way with you. Let go and grow up. Faith is a matter of loosing, letting go so that God can give us what he has for us. It's never easy to give up Ishmael. Much easier to leave the land. All of us have ideas, plans, visions. We all think, this is what I want my life to be like. This is how I want my life to turn out. One day God comes along and he goes against the grain. And so, no, that's Ishmael. That's your will for your life, but that's not my will. Ishmael is the work of the flesh, your idea of how to do God's work, but it's your way. Ishmael is your contribution to the work of God. It's not God's. You have to let go of your dream. You have to let go of your vision. You have to let go of your plan. It's never easy to say goodbye to one area of our life and walk in to another. And when God comes and I feel that God is sensing me to give something up, something that I wanted to do for him, I say, oh God, let Ishmael live before you. And God says, no, I can't give you the best. I can't give you what I really want to give you as long as you're hanging on to your will. As long as it has to be your way, I cannot accomplish what I want to accomplish. Abraham tries to reason with God. He tries to steer God in a more sensible direction. God, let's go with the sure thing. Ishmael's already here. He wanted to go with the plan that made more sense and seemed to be a sure thing. You know, it's easy to trust God when we have something real, something tangible, something physical, something that we can touch, something that we can hold, something that we can see. And as a Christian and as a church, we can get in trouble if we start banking on sure things. God doesn't always come to us that way. First time we are introduced to the name Isaac is in this passage. We find that it wasn't Abraham or Sarah who named the boy, but it was God. Isaac means, anybody know what the name Isaac means? It means laughter. Abraham got the giggles. God says, Abraham, you're going to call this child Isaac, which means laughter. And then every time you call his name, you will be reminded that you laughed at my promise. There's a land to leave. There's an Ishmael to let go of. And then the third test is to let go of Isaac. Genesis chapter 22, beginning with verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. This is the last great crisis. This is where Abraham's faith really grows up. Bible scholars say that Isaac was anywhere between 17 and 25 years old at this time. He was the apple of Abraham's eye. He was the treasure of his heart. Everything was running smoothly and wonderfully until one day God shows up. He speaks out of the clear blue again. He speaks with a more shattering tone than he had spoken with before. Abraham is over 100 years old. You would think that by now he had passed all the tests. But there he is in his old age. And God wasn't finished yet. I think it's true in our lives as well. The truth is, the older we get, sometimes the tougher the tests are. The greater the sacrifices and the bigger the stakes. But aren't you glad that God didn't start out with Isaac? He waited until Abraham was old enough and mature enough and strong enough. I don't believe that God will ever test you in a way that is more than you can handle, but he'll take you step by step, stage by stage, but he'll never give us more than we can handle. To understand this stage in Abraham's life is to understand the highest level of spiritual maturity that a person can experience. It's one thing to leave the world behind and give up on sin. In everything that is outside the will of God. But it's another thing to give of our possessions, our rights, ourselves. Listen to this. Even that which is of God. Are we willing to let go of even that which is from God? Sometimes it's the good things rather that become an idol to us. They are the things that are tough to give up. Paul was given this thorn in the flesh, this messenger of Satan, to keep him humble. He said, lest I should be exalted above measure, there was given to me this thorn in the flesh. It was necessary that Paul have this so that God could continue to use him. You see, sometimes it's the blessings that do us in. And we have to be careful of the blessings and we don't become proud over the blessings that God has given us. The greatest test for Abraham was not letting go of the land or getting rid of Ishmael. It was letting go of Isaac. Isaac was everything that was sure, everything that was right. And yet God was saying, if I don't have Isaac, I don't have all of you, Abraham. I don't have everything there is of you to have. We went through a difficult time in our family. And I thought I was being spiritual and humble. And I said, I wonder what effect this will have on my ministry. And God spoke to me and he said, whose ministry? God said, are you willing for me to not use you? That was a new revelation for me. Am I willing to trust God so much that I would be willing to let God not use me? And God said, are you willing to just be reserved for me? Let somebody else pastor the larger churches. Let somebody else get the recognition. Let somebody else get the applause and the accolades. What if all I wanted was you? Would you be satisfied in life with that? And I began to think, that's my Isaac. And unless God has my Isaac can become an idol to me and a possession that I hang on to too tightly. And what better thing is there than for us to have God anyway? Today, I honestly believe that I could let go of anything if it meant that I could grasp more of God. And that's where God wants us to come to. I think that's really what it is. That's the essence of walking by faith. Possession isn't ownership. Abraham possessed Isaac, but he didn't own him. There's nothing that we can say in this world that we own. It's all given to us so that we can be stewards of it. We possess it, we take care of it, but we don't own it. The danger comes when we start thinking of our possessions as if we own them. Now, every time God asked Abraham to do something up until this point, there was always a promise attached to it. If he would leave the land, God would give him a better land. If he would let go of Ishmael, God would give him Isaac. But now God comes and God says, are you willing to give up Isaac? Are you willing to put him on an altar and sacrifice to him to me? There is no guarantee of a promise. You see, I think that we have reached maturity. This is the ultimate level of maturity. I think we really understand what it means to walk by faith and to trust God when we can say, God, I will serve you. I will obey you simply because you are worth obeying. When we get to the point where we say, God, I will obey you without promise of reward. I will trust you because you are worthy to be trusted. I will love you because you are worthy to be loved. With the land, there was a new land. With Ishmael, there was Isaac. But with Isaac, there was no guarantee of future blessing. But, Jesus said a very interesting thing years later. Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. You know what I think happened? I think on Mount Moriah, God rolled back the curtain of eternity. And God said, let Abraham see the real Isaac as he hung on the cross on Mount Calvary. The greatest revelations of your life will come when you place your Isaacs on the altar. When you walk by faith and say, God, I will obey you no matter what. Somebody did die that day. It wasn't Isaac. Isaac was never meant to die. But Abraham died to Isaac. And that's what all of us need to do. What does it mean to walk by faith? It means to step out without knowing where you are going, without knowing where you will, this is going to take you to. It's taking a step in the dark. It's walking into mystery. It's stepping out into the unknown. It's trading your will and your plans for your life. You're trading them in for God's plans and God's will. It's putting our Isaacs on the altar, surrendering everything to God and trusting Him with those things. That's what it means to keep the faith, to walk by faith. Can I have your heads bowed, your eyes closed? I wonder today, as we're all at different points in our walk with the Lord, we're all at different levels of spiritual maturity. But I know this. I know that God tests you where you're at. Now, it's not a constant test. God might leave you alone for a lot of years. But eventually, God tests us to see the level of our maturity. Because He wants us to give up and to grow up. He'll bring different tests into our lives to give us this opportunity to grow. That's the reason why He does it. He gives us the opportunity to grow. And ultimately, He wants you to have a greater revelation of Him. And so I wonder this morning, is anybody here, you're at a point in your life where you're being tested and you're being asked to give up something. You're being asked to open up your hand and let go of something because God has something greater for you. Is anybody here like that? Just raise your hand. I'd like to pray for you. Pastor, would you pray for me? Amen. God is testing me. God is testing me. God is asking me to give something up. I'm going through a time of stretching my faith right now. And if you're not, bank this away because you will. Father, I pray for those that are going through a time of testing right now. Lord, that You would be with them, that You would give them strength and courage and grace. Lord, if You have promised them a blessing in response to their obedience, thank You for that. Lord, but even if You have not promised them a reward of blessing, I pray today that they would just settle it in their heart that they are going to obey. They're going to leave the land. They're going to give up their will. They're going to place their Isaac, that which is dearest to them, on the altar of sacrifice to You. And then, Lord, I pray that as they do that, You would reveal to yourself to them in ways that they have not known before, that they would get a glimpse of You. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Can we sing a verse of trust and obedience?